Hello, hello. Welcome to Under the Olive Tree. Today, I want to talk about representation and why it matters. When I was a kid, I remember that we used to have formal debates and stuff in class. And there was like 1,000 different topics, you know, abortion or gun laws and whatever. Sometimes there was even the topic of uniforms in school, which I found interesting, because usually the argument for no uniforms in schools was the fact that what you wear and how you show yourself off to the world is a form of expression. It's a form of self-representation. You show the world how you identify yourself or what you believe in or what you stand for through your clothing, through how you portray yourself. And I find that very interesting because there's so much truth to that. How we look or how we behave automatically sometimes forces us to represent something or another. And then there are things that we represent by choice, right? Like tons of people have their favorite basketball teams or football teams, or they represent a city. You know, more often than not, people choose to represent themselves through a larger identity that they're also perpetuating. And whether they're doing it consciously or not, most people fall into that. You see it all around. I mean, of course, obviously there's people that will make an identity out of the country they're from, right? And then that's all they'll represent, which is fine, right? How you choose to identify yourself or how you choose to align yourself, that's good. I mean, everybody needs something to believe in, I guess, or represent that's larger than just their single essence, right? People want to be a part of a community. People want to be a part of something more than themselves. Then there are some things that you don't really choose, but you represent it anyway. Like, I'm a brown guy, so I represent people that look like me. I work in sales, so I represent salespeople. Basically, like, if I treat someone like crap at work, they're gonna walk away from that situation like, oh, this is how salespeople are. They're not gonna think, oh, this is how Farhan is. You know, so now I've blemished a much larger, much broader category of people all of a sudden by behaving or representing them in a bad way or in the wrong way. I guess, how do you represent a salesperson right though, huh? Interestingly enough, if you think deeply a little bit more, sometimes you represent something that maybe you aren't really a part of, and you found it later in life, or maybe it was even just by accident. But there are people that belong to that, and they're like, no way, we don't want you to do that. I know that sounds confusing, but I'll give you an example. Like things like cultural appropriation. Obviously, in some cases, that could be totally offensive and wrong. Like if somebody is walking around looking like freaking dressed up in blackface or something, that would be wrong. Or if somebody's wearing like a sombrero and a poncho and a fake mustache, I mean, the fake mustache is what makes it messed up. Not the sombrero and the poncho, right? And then there's other things too, like if you're in the wrong neighborhood wearing the wrong colors, all of a sudden you're representing something that you probably don't want to. And someone else will pick up on that. Or people choose to represent themselves with a particular flag, right? Lately, and may God help the children of the people of Palestine and Gaza and all around the world that are suffering. But you will see the Palestinian flag all over the place because people who fight for that freedom represent themselves with that flag now. So you choose to take a stance and you choose to represent yourself. I choose to represent myself with something or another, and I'm a part of something that's greater than me. And that's natural human behavior. That's the way we all are. So the question becomes, I mean, in what way can I represent myself, or what larger group is there to represent that is the most ideal? Right? Because, I mean, I'm from America, right? So I represent the American flag. But the people in power will use me and abuse me and toss me to die. The people of my own country don't really accept me as American because they're too concerned with where my parents are from. So this flag that I would die for, why? It is my motherland. It's the land of my children, of my home. That's reason enough. But sometimes it makes you wonder, what do I represent? Do I represent a flag made, even forget about all of the emotional stuff. I mean, these lines and these countries, these flags, man-made. All of them, everything. Laws, government, well, maybe not laws, but the system itself, man-made. What do you represent? A gang, a sports team, a city, man-made. All things that end. All things that don't actually yield fruit for you forever. Because there's a limit to even their acceptance of you. There's a limit to how much even this country accepts me. And I'm from here. Even brown people who look like me will only accept me to a certain level. And then they'll shun me themselves. So the question then becomes, what should I represent that's going to actually have my back forever and ever and ever, without a doubt? And how does my behavior matter? Well, I don't know about obviously the whole world, but I think to myself, you know, what do I identify as? In this world, I feel like tons of people are asking that, right? What do you identify as? Well, I identify as a believer. And that's my most core essence. You remove all of the man-made stuff from my heart, and that's all that's left. I represent whatever flag says believer on it. Truth seeker on it. People helper on it. In whatever way that maybe I'll be able to, hopefully. Lover. My flag says lover. My flag says peace. My flag doesn't say the lines of a continent, the parameters of a city, the colors of a gang, groups of people. To represent truth and goodness, I want to do that. Right? I wish I was good enough to actually do that for real. That's the ideal. And I wish that was me. But you think about it and you realize that that's what it should be. That why align myself with finite things? Why align myself even with things that are half good, half full of corruption? As beautiful and amazing as my country is, it's also full of corruption. And I wish it wasn't. Obviously, right? So I represent believer. Okay, what does that mean then? Well, it means that if I want to try and uphold the truth, then who would I want to be like, right? We all have role models. And unfortunately, most of our role models, I mean, that's a common phrase, right? Don't meet your heroes. People will oftentimes fall short. And that's normal. But people will oftentimes fall short of your praise or of your looking up to them. Except for one person. And if you take the time to look into it, you'll know too. And that person is the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Your movement and what you represent, whatever you choose to represent in your life, is only as good as everyone else who represents it and the leader of your group. Your movement, your cause is as good as your leader. That's how I see it. So who's the best leader with the best cause? And thankfully, because this is something that I was already exposed to, it was easy for me to look into it more. And the more I learned about the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, I'm like, this guy's legit. And he's as legit as it comes. So even if you don't follow him spiritually, you know, look at what kind of a man he was before Islam, before his prophethood. He was known as the truthful and the trustworthy. Back then, there were no banks. There wasn't those kinds of facilities. So whenever someone wanted to travel, they would have to leave their wealth somewhere. So people would oftentimes leave it with the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, because they knew that they could trust him. I mean, imagine you go on a trip for like a month or 2 months, and however long it takes, there's no phones, no communication. You come back and you find out that whoever your friend or your buddy you left your money with spent it all in a scheme to try to get you richer, but it didn't work out, or whatever the case may be. But it's happened, right? It happens to people. And you feel betrayed. But not the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, right? And that has nothing to do with religion. That has nothing to do with... That's who he was. He's truthful, trustworthy. When people saw him, some of them would accept him as their leader and would follow him just because they'd look at his face and they would hear him speak. And they would say, this is not the face of a liar. Because he came with truth, and the truth doesn't really need to defend itself like that. We represent somebody, I represent somebody, that was sent as a mercy to mankind. And the reason why I'm saying that now is because earlier I said how we behave matters, right? So now I've categorized myself as a believer. And there are other people, of course, obviously. Islam is one of the largest religion on the planet. And so these people also call themselves believers. But unfortunately, we do things and represent ourselves in ways that are probably less than ideal. Sometimes way less than ideal. Right? How do you behave when you look like a Muslim? When you look like a believer? And you go out and you yell at someone, or you treat someone like crap, or you're yelling at the guy at McDonald's for getting your ketchup or something. They're not walking away from that situation like, oh, Abdullah is messed up or Farhan is messed up. They're walking away from it like that Muslim guy or that guy with the beard or that brown guy is messed up or whoever, right? That's not the only way Muslims look, obviously, but that's what happens sometimes. And I'll give you like a very nasty, controversial example, but there was a man once that drew an image of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which is wrong and bad. And it made me upset, as it made a lot of people upset. Rightfully so. Because it's an insult, it's ridiculing and mocking, and that's never good for anyone to anyone. But some people went out and literally killed this man over this. They killed him. What he did was wrong, but ask yourself, who do you represent? What do you represent? You went out and, I mean, not you specifically, but my people. People who call themselves believers like I do. They went out in an emotional state and did something wrong. And the reason why I say that is because the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, if hypothetically he was around, do you think that he would go and do that? The reason why I know he wouldn't is because the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was sent to humanity as a mercy. He was kind and forgiving and loving. He's not going to go out and behead somebody for drawing an image of him. It's wrong. But he would open the doors of goodness for them. He would offer them a hand in reform, a hand in change. And the reason why I know that is because, let me remind you of Ta'if. Ta'if was a town at the time of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, between two mountains. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was of course sent to deliver the message to all of mankind, so he traveled to this place too. But they didn't like him, and nobody likes it when you speak the truth or force them to get a little bit uncomfortable. But here he comes, and as he's coming, all of the people in this town, they get together and they even call out children, and they make this line along the main street and just start pelting rocks at him, physically causing him harm. And they threw so many rocks at him, and as he's going through the city, I mean, he hasn't even talked to anybody. And he didn't come there to ask them for anything. He just came to deliver a message. And that's it. But they even got the children to come out and mock him and throw stones at him. So much so that by the time he finally made it out of the city, the man was covered in blood. His shoes, his sandals were full of blood. He found some shade under a tree. He pours out the blood from his shoes, from his sandals. Imagine the hardship. Imagine caring for someone, going to go, even if you don't agree with him. From his perspective, from where he's coming from, he is moving on a mission of love, on a mission of open arms. And these people showed him not just the opposite, but the extreme opposite of that. Put yourself in that position. People have done way less to me. Way, way, way less to me. And I hate them. People I know, right? These are strangers to him. But he went there with a mission. So while he's sitting under this tree, blood everywhere, the angel Gabriel comes to him, upset, as anyone would be. I am, even just thinking about it, at the injustice and the unfairness. And the angel Gabriel comes with another angel in hand and says to him, "This is the angel of the mountains. If you say so, we'll take the mountains and crush this town between the two mountains. We'll smash them and they'll be done for. And they'll be done away with." Give yourself that choice for a minute. Give me that choice for a minute. Man, oh man. These people are done. If I was given that choice, I mean, my shoes are full of blood. Imagine. Children roasting me in the streets. Put yourself in that position. I mean, how hard would it be to be like, to say, this is what the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, and this is the difference. This is why he's so close to God and why he's so good in his nature. This is what makes him different from me and you. Right? We're just nobodies. I'm nobody. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in that moment of hardship, says to the angel, he says, "No, perhaps from this nation, goodness will arise. Perhaps eventually from this nation, believers will come." I mean, wow. instead of offering them a curse, instead of wishing for them bad, or even just being upset, he offered for them a prayer. He prayed that that land is reformed, that these people change. That's great strength. This is the man sent as mercy. These people caused him physical harm, and he didn't kill even one of them. He didn't have any of them killed. And this man just drew an image of him. Yeah, it's messed up, but the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, isn't even here to be upset over that. And when he was here and these kinds of things happened to him, he had mercy on them. He made prayer for them. He offered them a hand in reform to change. Now, obviously, this whole situation that happened with the guy, that was like a small group of people that went out and did something terrible, but there's tons of people I know that they agree with that line of thinking. They're passionate about it. And I'm like, I get it, because I love the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And I don't want anybody to mock him or ridicule him, in the same way that nobody wants me to mock or ridicule them. So you have to ask yourself, I have to ask myself, what am I representing? Am I representing a man of warfare, or am I representing a man of peace, a man of goodness, a man of mercy? And beyond that, right, what does the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, represent? Well, he calls himself a prophet, right? So he's representing every prophet that came before him. Everyone. From Adam to Noah to Abraham to his children to Ishmael to Isaac. And we don't make any difference among them. And we love all of them. Jacob, Zechariah, David, all of the prophets, Solomon. We don't make any differences amongst them. But people like to, right? Because they pick one over the other, and they choose to represent one over the other, failing to realize that actually they all represented the same thing. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, represented all of the prophets, and all of the prophets represented the truth. They represented the one. They're messengers of God, sent as templates, sent as guidance, sent as mercy, sent as signs. They're role models for me to look up to. So through that chain of logic, if they represent the truth, and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, represents them, then I should also represent the truth. And it trickles down into me, into you, into all of us. And we have a responsibility to fairness and justice. And so when we portray ourselves as believers or as truth seekers or as Muslims, then we should do it in a way that doesn't hurt anybody, that leaves a good taste in their mouth after they have an interaction with us. What is the point of going out and looking like a Muslim, whatever that means, and making people feel less than you, or making people feel like they're stupid, or making people feel like they're sinful or wrong, or like they can't change or reform? Right? Unfortunately, sometimes it happens that when we have the truth in our hearts and we're believers, we look at people that aren't there yet and look down on them. Like, oh, you know, they're just like stupid. That's not true. Everybody has the capability of reform and growth. In fact, mocking them or scoffing at them shows that you're far less developed than they are. Just having belief in your heart alone, it might allow you to call yourself a believer, but it's your behavior that will set you apart. Right? The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he never ever met a non-believer that he didn't hope for them goodness. Even so much that he offered a hand in reform to the enemies of his movement, to the enemies of his cause. Right? They're not even close to joining him. And yet he offers to them brotherhood, solidarity. And they're the ones who reject. So that's what I represent. That's what I want to align myself with. That's my flag says Muhammad, peace be upon him, on it. And my Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his flag says Allah on it. It says God on it. It says the truth on it. And all of us fall under that. Every one of us believes in something higher, something greater, whatever you want to call it. Elo, Yahweh, God, Allah. And the more you look into it, the more you will discover the truth for yourself and ask yourself, what do you identify as? What do I identify as? And is it worth it? Is it worth it forever? Because ultimately, in the end, by representing the truth and by representing goodness, you will receive truth and goodness and eternal goodness, like eternal bliss. Isn't that what we all want? Right? All of these things are finite. The wars will end. The countries will eventually be null and void. They won't even exist anymore. New countries will come. New people will come. Me and you will be gone. And we'll be alone in our graves. So the question becomes then, is that the real me? Is this the real me? When I'm in my grave naked, then I won't have like a bull's hat on anymore. I won't be decked out in my best J's. Maybe. I mean, I hope. Actually, that'd be kind of cool to be buried in my best J's. But probably not. And even if I am, it's of no use to me. None of those things are of use to me. What you choose to represent will ultimately matter after you die. And then it becomes clear to you which representation had mattered and which ends eventually. Whether it ends while you're alive or you're not, it'll end with you or it'll end on its own. But everything we choose to represent is finite, except the truth. So that's all, I guess, I don't know, be a little nicer, be a little bit more merciful, be a little bit more accepting and a little bit more truer to our word. And let's not break our promises and represent believing in the best way. Let's not be frugal. Let's not curse each other or mock each other or scoff at each other, but rather hold out a hand in reform. Hold out a hand in peace. And invite people to be your brother, to be your sister. Establish fairness and justice wherever you are. And that's it. Hopefully you come back again. Thank you. Bye.